Hey all, welcome back to episode number 17 of Digital Madvertising. It's Thursday, March 9th, and I am your host, Chris Clark. And with me, I have my co-host, Winnie Teal. What's up?
What's up?
What's going on? How's your day going?
Oh, it's amazing. The weather's nice, so that's a perk.
I agree. It's really good. It's not 90 degrees in March. It's 60 degrees. It's freaking awesome and beautiful outside. On the other side of Winnie and I, we have our super producers, Connor Sage and Marcus Pearson. Don't know if you can hear them, but guys, say hello.
MPC hello. Sage.
There we go. So we're trying to build up a crew here, trying to build up the production. Did a little bit of pre-production for you. Hope to throw in a little bit of oomph when it comes to the segments. Connor's going to make it sound a little bit more sexy, I think, as we kind of break up the sections. But with this podcast, we're here to talk about the newest trends, the newest tips, the biggest news in all of digital marketing, advertising, and technology. But we wanted to say really quick that today's episode is brought to you by Wild Tonic, which if you're watching us on screen, we are holding up a beautiful can of Wild Tonic's non-alcoholic mocktail. So Wild Tonic is a June kombucha brand. So if you think of kombucha, you think of that vinegary taste. June is a honey-based kombucha, and it is a sweeter version of it. So Wild Tonic, based out of Sedona, Arizona, is a woman's owned business, and they make amazing products from all kinds of different flavors of June kombucha, so honey-based, to these new lines of mocktails. So Digital Ignite, our advertising agency, has been working with them for a few years. Our team is out there right now with them at Expo West in Anaheim, California. So we wanted to give a shout out on... Yeah, shout out to them being out there. Shout out to our team being out there and kind of talking about what our agency Digital Ignite is doing as a teaser for our own marketing to the, I guess, food and bev brands that are in Anaheim right now. So, Winnie, are you familiar with what I'm talking about right now? Have you seen this?
I am, yes. But first, shout out to them for being woman-owned during Women's History Month. So,
yes,
shout out to
Wild Tonic. I had that on a note driving over, and I was like, yesterday was National Women's Day, correct?
Yes. So that entire month is Women's History Month.
So, we're always celebrating women.
Always definitely. Celebrating women.
Women
point
are
number
best.
One.
Absolutely. But again, I think it's amazing with Holly, who is the owner of Wild Tonic. Her story is really, really cool. I got to interview her on a podcast a handful of years ago, and that's how our relationship started. But she is a artist that creates art out of beeswax, which is insane. And when I say like art, I mean, it's you could literally go to any art museum, name it, look at a painting that's made out of like oil, acrylic, pen. It's just crazy how realistic this stuff is. So she's done amazing work in that space. And then she got into fermenting and has made these amazing kombucha products. And they have a full-on facility out in Cottonwood, which is right outside of Sedona. It's an amazing team. So we love working with them. And yeah, amazing, amazing woman entrepreneur and owner. So with that being said, though, Winnie, do you kind of want to tell our friends and listeners what DI is doing, Digital Ignite is doing out in Anaheim? And I can add any subtext as we go.
Yes, they're hanging out at the expo. It's a national products expo where everything's like all natural. We talked about that earlier, too. But yes, everything's all natural. So with Wild Tonic being made out of honey, it definitely appeals to a lot of vegetarians, a lot of plant-based people who have that interest. So they're out there hanging out, getting to know more about natural products. And then DI is hanging out through the ad space too, which I know Chris is going to tap into a little bit, but that's what our team is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And to caveat that or piggyback off what Winnie was saying, we have got a mock energy brand. So we'll bring you guys like a case study of this in the next couple of weeks once we get it. But our creative team came up with a really cool idea just to put together a fake energy brand to tease the release while they are out at Expo West. So we have a really cool tagline in there with kicking some ROAS. So we'll see kind of how it plays, but it's really dynamic, creative. We're really excited about it as an agency because we've really tried to take our agency to the next level with creative. So it's really cool. We're looking at a multi-channel campaign. It's running on social, and then it's running on a lot of out of home, which is very exciting, which we've talked to you all about a little bit. So go back to any of our previous episodes. But with this out of home capability, we can target restaurants and bars that have signage. I think the, Connor, was it the outside of the convention center or parking garages have it too? Charging stations, that's right. Yeah, transit. So it's nuts just where all of this digital signage is coming from. So very excited to kind of see what we can do out there. Also wanted to talk about with Winnie. She's got some really fun stuff that she's doing in regards to business development, but also with some of her current clients in account management. And so, Winnie, why don't you kind of touch base on some of the RFPs that you're doing? And if you are unfamiliar with an RFP, again, this is where it doesn't matter. Take your ego out of it, literally. Take your ego off the pod. So as soon as you listen to the pod, take it out. There's no dumb questions here. But for real, RFP, you know, ready for proposal. So we are working with state organizations, and then we work with these entities throughout the United States that are going to put out these specific proposals. But your girl over here has been crushing it with her client, Trident Technical College. And what else you've been looking at in that space?
Looking at a couple different states, higher education and the medical field, health and medical field is actually the focus that we're honing in on. We've been super successful over the years with making sure we can tap into different audiences to tell them how to create a marketing strategy that will not just engage their audience, but will increase their enrollment. It will increase their visibility. So we're replying to these requests for proposals to help higher education institutions and medical field participants know exactly where their audience is and maximize their ad dollars.
So, I think that's for... We're not telling you guys to go out there and look at these RFPs because that's ours and we've got our own secret sauce. But again, I think from a business standpoint, there's a whole untapped market in regards to RFPs. Because I mean, there's literally RFPs for anything out there. And, you know, the reason that these RFPs come to fruition is when you have competing agencies or at least you're working with an entity that is, whether it is a state or state organization or whatever it may be. If you have a certain dollar amount or certain product that you put out there, that organization then can open it up to RFP to have other vendors come in and say, hey, we can either do that better, you know, bring it on. We like a good competition, but there are other ways to, again, become an agency of record, sole source justification. So as you work with, whether it's higher education, and this is more of the reference point where I'm coming from, you could look at those things. But I think with RFPs, and especially in a digital world, it's very important to make sure that you're working with an agency or you are an agency that if you are in higher ed and you're doing the RFP, you know what you're talking about. You have extensive background in the education space. I think Winnie, the bid is not out. I hope, or, you know, bid is not won yet. You know, by the time this podcast comes out, it might have been, but regardless, we sat on the meetings for these RFPs. And yes, I feel like a lot of these agencies that were on it, they might've, you know, just from questions they were asking or some of that just insight that they were bringing, it was like, oh man, we might have a really amazing shot of continuing this because they don't seem like they're in our ballpark.
Right.
That's
not to sound condescending in any way or, you know, toot our own horn, but we do have a niche that we cater to. We're driven by data. So data tells us everything, which is why we are experts in what we do. So higher education is definitely a field that we excel in, and we not only produce results in, but we can help your team strategize and get the most out of it. So RFPs are all in our wheelhouse, and it's our area of expertise, and that's why we not only tap into it, but we excel in it.
Yeah, no, well said. I think just to kind of put a final nail in that, I mean, looking at the opportunities with RFPs, and again, if you're a marketing agency or digital agency, just looking at the, I remember when I first got into the marketing space, it was you could try to go and find other agencies that you would partner with to try and win that bit of business. And actually, there's a couple neighbors down the street from us that we went and partnered on, whether it was, I think it was South Carolina Agriculture, Better Business Association, like Small Business Association within South Carolina. And so I feel like for us as a digital agency, as we grew in our infancy, a lot of the traditional agencies around town weren't necessarily doing the digital side. So they'd say, hey, we're going to take care of this, the strategy, the creative, all of the media, traditional media buys, but we do need digital. And so seeing kind of now the evolution on the flip side of where the media is consumed and where RFPs are going. Again, just make sure that you have a good strategy where those ad dollars are going. It's going to be transparent between the funnel, because again, if you're out there doing one thing and your client thinks you're doing another, that's never going to be fun. So that transparency of making sure your expectations are set, but also if you're looking at like pricing or CPMs or whatever that may be within there, justify why you're putting that price there. I think that's a big note I've noticed is like, you know, in the past, it was a run to the bottom to find the cheapest price, but that doesn't always matter because when you're looking at data and specifically schools, you're always in a competitive field. There's going to be other institutions looking at these people or running ads based on those behaviors. So if you bump your pricing up based on that data, you have the opportunity to get in front of them and win that bid and ultimately hopefully have them click and sign up and butts in seats.
Yes. And then keep in mind the field that we are targeting is always quality over quantity. Leads equal quality for them. So enrollments is quality. It's not necessarily the quantity. So
That's like, I mean, people would be like, oh, you got me X amount of clicks and X amount of impressions. And I think, again, that's, again, great. But the KPI is what the KPI is. And in this, it's butts and seats, you know. And so looking at, to your point, the quality of how we're doing it, it's quality over quantity in this matter. And that, I feel like the education, man, I like can't beat that enough into marketers or new marketers or people that are into it, the agency world, like setting those expectations and really driving that home is massive. So again, check out your RFPs. There's so many different websites you can take a look. If you're working with a state organization or a school, you're probably going through that process now because fiscal year ends July 1st. So good luck to anybody that's out there doing that. But yeah, that is the intro to the show.
It is the digital advertising news of the week.
So let's dig into the news of the week. There's a lot going on. Last week we had Mr. Paul Sage on to talk to us about his just incredible marketing career and a lot of the pivotal moments in marketing history. So just wanted to give a shout out to Mr. Sage and say thank you for coming on. Go back to episode number 16 and listen to him. He has some really cool insight and stories from his history in marketing, whether it's a Southwest account, right, Connor, to Chick-fil-A, to literally what he's doing with Super Bowl and the data right now. Check that stuff out. All right, diving into the news really quick. I thought this was really cool. And as a agency, it's a pretty cool win to see this pop out. So Hulu just announced or came out with their beta ads manager. And what that means basically is you are able to now go into Hulu and utilize that data to build out campaigns where in the past, let's say 2017 or 18, kind of when Hulu was in its infancy and startup, you know, Hulu, you have Hulu here, Netflix here, Hulu brought ads into the space. It brought live TV into the space and all of these other connections. Netflix has kind of just been stuck really with what it is, original content, no commercial. Up until recently. When we first got into Hulu, all the clients wanted to get onto it. Everybody's like, I want to be on Hulu. I want to be on Hulu. I want to be on Netflix. And it's like, dude, you can't be on Netflix.
Right.
Hulu, you can be on, but, and there's a big but there, originally it was like a $30,000 minimum. So unless you were like, again, a Coca-Cola, these bigger national brands, you're not jumping on Hulu at that point. So 2023, March of 2023, get an email, 2 days ago, says, hey, Chris, guess what? Boom, you're on the beta. Let's do it. So send it over to the ad ops team. And now we're going to go down a rabbit hole. It's $500 minimum for a campaign. So I think this is awesome for agencies of any level. And again, you know, I can tell this and give you all the knowledge in the world. You got to figure out how to do it though. This kind of stuff is incredible because you're going to be able to get in there and build audience segments out of it. So looking at like in market and high intent purchasers, heavy focus on the auto industry. You can look at demographics from the age, gender, career, education level, life. Like, I mean, there's a lot of different things in there. Pets, dogs, living room. I mean, so think of like what ComScore and Nielsen were doing in the past. Hulu with the amount of streaming and it has on there and the data, game on, man. So 15 and 30 seconds. I mean, it's going to be exciting. So we'll keep you guys up to date. I mean, Winnie, I know you've kind of had some clients talking about some OTT and CTV, but where do you find this maybe relevant for some of your clients or to at least you as you talk to clients?
I think this is going to be really good for any light wild tonic, any beverage, or food and service, food and beverage industry. I really think that's going to be good. And pets. Mm-hmm. That's going to be really good for family. Because one thing that we do know about Hulu is they have more families that watch than Netflix does.
Yeah.
So they are more family oriented. So I think this is going to be really helpful for any family oriented targeted audience.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and to that point, I'm excited to kind of see how you can kind of monetize or, well, utilize their space in the dashboard. So when you log into it, like you already can start seeing some, whether they have some direct buys or whatever it may be, but really being able to kind of jump in and buy that ad space geographically is going to be cool. So, I mean, you're going to see a different ad in Walterboro than I'm going to see in Mount Pleasant.
Right.
And obviously it's going to be based on you, but with OTT and CTV and these streaming services, you can also just run it specifically in a geographical area to where you want it to be based off of your data. So again, we want Winnie to see the ads she wants to see, and I want to see the ads that I want to see.
And I think Hulu's doing a really good job making some pivots with coming out with beta advertising like this. Like, I don't know if you've experienced it, but I've gone into a binge watch with Hulu recently, and now instead of just asking you, are you still watching, they just pause your show. So whether it's on an ad or a show or not. So
I have not noticed that.
You haven't?
No,
well,
I have to pay attention.
Man, I just told myself how long I was watching.
No. Listen, like I love Hulu and I love the content. I am, if you can't tell, so ADHD and all over the place that like I can sit down for about 30 minutes and then I'm like, squirrel, got to go do something. My wife is that. Like I'll catch, she's either falling asleep and Netflix is like, are you still watching this? Or cause I'd wake up at like 3 a.m. and it's just paused there.
Mine is just paused. It just pauses. Like the other day I was cooking and cleaning and I just had the TV on and it just paused. It was on an ad and it paused. And I just like thought that. Maybe, you know, Moose hit the remote control or something. Shout out to Moose. I just thought he hit the remote or something until one day I was actually sitting and watching and did it on a show. So I think they're doing some really good enhancements to support advertising.
I like that. That's actually a good point because you're saving the ad space until your eyeballs are back.
Yep.
Ooh. I like that a lot. I'm gonna look into that actually. So I think everybody else should, you know, take a look and pay attention. But a couple more things before we get out of here. You may have noticed on TikTok and some of your favorite apps, some of these deep fake politicians, and it's just been brought to my attention over the last like 48 hours, but we were just kind of geeking out on it. And I feel like from the deep fake side of things, it's been nuts. But so you've heard of ChatGPT, you've heard of DALL-E. So you've got the AI version of script and writing and concepting, and then the creative side. Well, with the voice side of things, people are deep faking politicians, they're deep faking news people. So guess what gets populated even more? Fake news and conspiracies and crazy ass content. So like, I think I watched a video of Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, and George W. Bush playing Call of Duty the other night.
But I just watched.
All talking to each other too. And so when you listen to it, it's legitimately their voices. Like, again, you know, from a political spectrum, I could care less about CNN or Fox News, but literally I saw a clip of Tucker Carlson being deep faked talking about the evolution of a Pokemon, and it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So I think like it's brought to the attention of now the I guess next safety battlefield is what Adweek was calling it, because it is surging on TikTok and YouTube. It's basically showing so far it's already grown 130% compared to 2022. We're super early into the year, but look where AI came at the end of the year. But at the end of the day, it's you know, tools are looking to include keyword block lists or static inclusion lists. They say that can be a little bit effective when it comes to, or when you're looking to try to figure out some of this analysis to figure these folks out. But again, at the end of the day, it's pretty nuts and you should go check it out, but don't literally take it for what it's worth. It's just good content. It's pretty nuts with this deep faking stuff and the AI stuff. We've messed around with some of the voice generated I guess, content with our script writing, which is really cool. We're not trying to deepfake presidents or political figures. But like, it's kind of staggering with some of these numbers. It says they've garnered over 11 million views and more than 2 million likes. So basically 90% of these videos are monetizable. So these advertisers are running ads adjacent to the content. So companies, they couldn't share how much was being spent on ads, but showing up next to AI auto misinformation is kind of insane.
Yes.
So we'll see how this shakes out. I mean, there's definitely been already some shaking. It says there's a real risk around deepfakes and AI generated audio technology evolving in time for the next election cycle. Given what we just went through in the last one, obviously all of this stuff being digitized, you know, I can put up a phone app right now and literally we can be in any location, or I can turn Connor and Marcus into zombies or Pokemon. And it's just insane what these cameras can do. So again, gather your facts, make sure you're following your own information. And when you see this, again, it's literally entertainment. Other than that, don't believe that crap. Finally, if you were around a handful of years ago, you might remember a app that was kind of revolutionizing the way that you consume TV and entertainment. HQ Trivia, you might remember Scott Rogowski, the quiz master. The show would come out at basically 3 p.m. and then 9 p.m. Eastern every day. They also had a European or UK version as it grew, but the app, again, it was live trivia, kind of like Jeopardy. You could win money. It was started by the creators of Vine. So again, going even back further, about 12, 13 years ago. And it, I think, has been resurrected since then. But Vine, very quick, short form videos that you could kind of put together. Now, obviously, look where every other app is, but CNN documentaries, basically think of Anthony Bourdain or anything else they've put out for original content, did a documentary called Glitch, The Rise and Fall of HQ Trivia. Not giving a plug to CNN or this documentary, I just do think that from a standpoint of Scott Rogowski, I really liked his story. And then also just with HQ, it was really wild just how quick it grew, the popularity it had, and then how fast it crashed and burned. So again, they talk about the rise and fall of it. You may remember as it gained strength, you know, they had guest hosts like The Rock. They had all kinds of people come on. Scott was the main driver of the show. But ultimately, one of the owners, you know, I think committed suicide. There was a lot of tech issues on the back end of the app, just not able to carry the bandwidth of the amount of users. I mean, this thing took off like a rocket. Obviously, you're trying to win money. Early on, you could win a couple $100 to $50. And then as it grew, you know, again, that pot of money, only grew if you didn't win or nobody won, but you'd be like, if you won, you get like 75 cents. So, regardless, I think it opens the door to, you see live shopping now on TikTok. You see all of these other interactive applications. I saw it when it was coming out being like, man, this is going to be, something really, really phenomenal as we grow the marketing and just media space. We were just looking on our Alexa TV. It literally just told us we could play Jeopardy talking to it. So again, just wild stuff coming down the pipe in regards to technology. But yeah, it's called Glitch, the Rise and Fall of HQ Trivia on CNN.
Hey y'all, thank you so much for locking in with us today for episode 17. We're gonna have some really cool stuff coming up for you on episode 18. But listen, if you're not connected with us on all our social media platforms, make sure you do that. And then visit our website, send us some information, let us know what you think about our new website. And we will catch you next week on episode 18 of Digital Mavertising.
Digital Mavertising News.